Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you so much for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And I pray the Lord keep you and yours through these trying times ahead. Great things are coming for the kingdom, and God knows what He's doing. Father, we praise you. We thank you for keeping us on all this, all these times, and giving us wisdom to be preserved through these things and be helpful in the building of your kingdom. Thank you so much, Father. Amen. Okay, I'm going to share a little bit of history here and a few other things. I want to talk to you about safety from our enemies. And I'm going to start out by talking about what we've been talking about, and that is these plagues, man-made plagues. And I have an article here that I read. I'm not going to read it to you, but and there's a couple of videos on it. You know, when 7 of 8 people who died with the flu shot or died with the flu got the flu shot, it's time to find out why. When labs are saying that the overwhelming majority of people who are diagnosed with flu don't have it, it's time to reconsider giving them the flu shot, and in many cases, the flu that comes along with it. I don't get the flu shot, so I don't get the flu, and a lot of other people say the same thing. The chemtrail flu, which is sprayed everywhere, is not flu, but deadly chemicals that are designed to cause those symptoms. And when these people are treated with a flu shot that destroys your immune system, so you have no resistance to the chemtrail poison and the flu, you have a deadly mixture. There was an article I read, See Death by Lethal Injection, and a bunch of videos that went with it. Yeah, it's very interesting. I'm not going to read it to you, but I'll put the link on here so that you that read the text can go to it. Let me say that adding the flu shot to the chem crud is like a binary chemical weapon for depopulation. And it comes from the elite. They've been doing this for a long time. They control the chemtrails and they control the vaccines. And in other words, they can give you the sickness, and then they make money off the vaccines. They don't make money off of you if you're dead until they're ready to do away with a bunch of people who resist their control, which is happening right now. A binary chemical weapon is when they administer one agent, which in itself may not be deadly, like chemtrails, and then a second agent comes along, like the flu shot, is released, and that causes the first agent to be deadly. In this case, because it's so damaging to your immune system and organs that you have no defense against the chem crud. Wikipedia has an article on this. Binary chemical weapons or munitions. Now they're concentrating on the war, the battlefield weapons, but there's no difference. I mean, you know. Binary chemical weapons or munitions are chemical weapons which contain the toxic agent in its active state as chemical precursors, which are significantly less toxic than the agent. This improves the safety of storing, transporting, and disposing of the weapon. And two, you don't connect it with the chemtrails when you don't die from the chemtrails. You know, you die from from loss of immunity in the flu shot. Commonly, firing the munition removes a barrier between the two precursors. These react to form the intended agent, which is then aerosolized. Does that sound familiar? And distributed by a bursting charge. Well, the chemtrails are aerosolized, but they spread by spraying instead of a munition, right? So, what's the difference here? This morning in our prayer meeting, two of us had dreams warning not to get the flu shot, which none of us locally do, so we knew it was to be passed on to you. Amber saw in a warning dream a clear vial of liquid like used for a shot. It had the same makeup as the little shot vials, you know. And when asking for a confirmation by faith at random, she put her finger on Ashur. That's A-S-H-H-U-R, not Asher. In 1 Chronicles 2 and 24, meaning darkness. Darkness. The flu shot is darkness. Vanessa saw in a dream someone tried to give her a shot in the arm, but a brick wall came between her and the one giving the shot. What's God saying? Don't do it. There's no reason to do it. It's not effective. They say it's not effective. There's no reason to do it. And it's full of deadly poisons. Nobody can say that the vaccines are safe. Nobody. They think they're safer than the alternative, and that's a lie too. Anyway, another sister, Sandy, was in the hospital and refused the flu shot. Later she woke up when they had just given it to her. You know, while she was sleeping, she woke up and she objected. She said, "I didn't give you permission to do this." And then they wanted her to sign the waiver after the fact. But she said, "No, I did not give you permission." One of our nurse, Eve, she reported that nurses who refused to take the flu shot were ostracized and named in a bulletin to the hospital. In other words, so they would oppress these people, you know, into taking the shot. And one man among them got the shot, and immediately his organs began to shut down. And he barely lived. Damaged, but lived. I heard that there was a Trump directive that said that the hospital workers don't have to get flu shots and vaccines. And, you know, he's totally against the vaccine. He's totally against the flu shot. He says not to put that poison in your body. He sees no reason for it. He's never had a flu shot, and he's never had the flu. A lot of people have that history. They don't get the flu shot. They don't get the flu. Listen, the flu changes every year. So people have to go back and get another shot of this poison. And another one. And another one. Wonder why so many people are sick. Because these are deadly chemicals. Why? Doesn't make sense. Especially when they tell you it's not effective. But you need to do it anyway. So what's the reason for that? In the same prayer meeting, Debbie Horton said, "Very early this morning, I heard a high-pitched whistle. That's the only way I can describe it. First, it was a part of a whistle. Maybe a small warning. Just a split second, and then a longer whole whistle, piercing and metallic sounding. The partial whistle woke me up completely to hear the whole whistle." Well, now, I believe people are getting woken up by the warning. But there's still some really bad stuff coming. In football, whistles are blown when there is an infraction of the rules. Now, whether you want to take that to mean God's rules or man's rules, it's a warning. Debbie said, I thought at first that the carbon monoxide propane alarm had gone off. And then I remembered that the Lord whistled to bring judgment. There are four whistles in Scripture. Two of these represent God's warning of chastening through the attack of an enemy. Isaiah 5 and 26, and he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far, and will hiss, this is the same word for whistle, for them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed, with speed swiftly. This is calling an enemy against God's people who are in rebellion, which they've never been in more rebellion than they are today. And the Lord has told us that He is the one that's bringing this plague. Now, He always takes credit for something like that, but He almost always uses man to do it. Isaiah 7 and 18 is another one. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord will hiss, or whistle, for the fly that is in the uttermost parts of the rivers of Egypt, and for the bee that is in the land of Assyria. Enemies, calling on the enemies, right? Well, we have heard from the Lord that this attack that we're expecting will cleanse much leaven from the church. Let's say that leaven people, apostate people, don't have any preservation. Holiness is what delivers us from death, right? Sanctification is what delivers us from death. So this leaven is going to be cleansed from the church in preparation for the coming wilderness tribulation. It will also take home some who don't need or wouldn't survive the temptations of the coming tribulation. And then I saw an article, it was called Why Vaccines, Pesticides, and Chemtrails Are the Top Three Weapons of Mass Destruction by S.D. Wells. I think I'll read to you a portion of this. Natural News. Before delving into these highly controversial subjects, it is paramount to review the proper definitions of each as they inherently relate to the relevant understanding of how each applies to today's science, politics, the environment, and, of course, human health and safety. First, a weapon of mass destruction, or WMD, is a chemical, nuclear, radiological, or biological weapon that has the ability to kill. Of course, most of these go off and it really upsets society. The chemical and biological weapon can be used in silence, and nobody knows it's the enemy. And nobody knows it's the enemy that wants to reduce the population or to take out people that they can't control, which is exactly what we're seeing now. They've tried to control, and they have failed. And this is ultimately going to be found out. It's all over the internet now, but it's ultimately going to be found out. Will it be found out in time to save people from what's coming? Some. And I believe the only way is, since God told us that He had the only remedy for this plague that was coming, that people will go to Him. That's what I pray. And bring significant harm to a large number of humans, not to mention massive damage to human-made structures and the biosphere. Pesticides are the only toxic substances released intentionally, or you think so, into our environment on a regular basis to kill living things. The term pesticide is an umbrella term that includes substances used to kill weeds, which are herbicides, insects, insecticides, fungus, fungicides, and rodents, rodenticides, among other agricultural pests. Chemtrails are part of an ongoing mass aerial dispersal of biological waste and pesticides, and there's a link here. There's several links in this that I'm not going to be able to read to you, but you can go back and do it yourself, okay? Proofs and so on. So chemtrails are part of an ongoing mass aerial dispersal of biological waste and pesticides that initially look like normal contrails, but are easy to detect because they do not dissipate quickly since they are not formed from normal water-based condensation. So true, I've seen both commercial planes in the sky alongside these contrails, these chemtrail planes, and it's obvious they're in the same sky, and one of them has a very short contrail behind it, and the other one has a chemtrail that goes all the way across the sky. It's very obvious, but you'd be surprised how many people don't even believe in this. They can't look up and understand that when the skies are full of this stuff, they come down with the crud. They can't add one and one to two. I mean, it's terrible. I think they've done some good in stupefying people so that they don't really understand these things. Chemtrails are also much thicker than contrails and often extend across the sky in patterns of X's and tic-tac-toe looking grids. I mean, you can look up some of them. There is no flight patterns like that. Anyway, and vaccines are experimental injections. I'll link here to an article of disease-causing agents intended to conjure an unnatural. They are disease-causing agents intended to conjure an unnatural hyperimmune reaction in humans in order to ameliorate the effects of future infections by wild pathogens. Yet the effectiveness of inoculation theory and practice has never been proven successful. In fact, deadened or weakened forms of microbes and viruses often spring back to life inside the injected humans, spreading or shedding the very infectious disease the immunization is supposed to prevent. Of course, a lot of people have had that. And then they, of course, it doesn't make any difference. It spreads. When they catch it this way from the shot, they spread it to others. And the funny thing is, the maps show that this thing started all of a sudden and went all the way across the country. Now, how can that happen? It's never happened before, this kind of a flu thing. I mean, it's because it's being spread from the air. Even if the injected victim does not become immediately ill from the dormant virus, known as carcinogenic agents, and genetically modified organisms are now prominent in all vaccines, including flu shots, and can cause severe health detriment in short and long term. These agents or adjuvants often include mercury, listed as thimerosal, monosodium glutamate, MSG, formaldehyde, embalming fluid, and aluminum, known to cause Alzheimer's disease and joint inflammation and on and on and on. No vaccine has ever proven safe for humans, despite paid-for research published by the manufacturers. I'll say that again. No vaccine has ever been proven safe for humans. As a matter of fact, they've all been proven deadly for humans. So what does all the stuff from the manufacturer mean? It's just a big fat lie, isn't it? Current immunizations are proven to contribute to the spread of over 25 known infectious diseases, including polio and measles. And there's an article here about that. You can go and look at all those diseases if you want to. Biological and chemical weapons utilized for population control in America and developing countries. And again, this is under the heading of why vaccines, pesticides, and chemtrails are the top three weapons of mass destruction. It's not hard to find a lot of evidence on the internet of what's going on here. It's still that people are so dumbed down that they won't receive it. They just can't imagine that their government would do anything to hurt them. Look what our government has done to other nations. Do you think they won't do it here? They planned to do it here. They brought an invasion into the country to destroy Christianity in America. And look how much Christianity they destroyed overseas. You think these are good people? Okay, back to the biological and chemical weapons utilized for population control in America and developing countries. No other country in the world is more interested in cessation of population expansion than the USA, especially when it comes to eugenics. The racial profiling and proliferation of non-whites as the globalists and the elite super-rich pretend to help minorities and the underprivileged with food and medicine. The quotation marks are around food and around medicine. In fact, U.S. law allows the testing of chemicals and biological agents on the civilian population. Yep, I read this a while back. That's amazing. And, you know, like that, you know, you can trust your government, you know. There is no conformed consent here, and there is no democratic voting procedures in place to protect human health, animal health, and environmental welfare. Plus, many self-proclaimed philanthropists like Bill Gates and George Soros fund depopulation agendas by funding, promoting, and distributing genetically modified foods, cancer-causing pesticide-laden food, and toxic vaccinations to unsuspecting populations. Under the guise of help, entire populations of undesirables are being systematically wiped out by the very food and medicine they believe are helping them. Vaccines like DTaP and HPV are sterilizing many female teenagers. In fact, Kenya Catholic Doctors Association is charging UNICEF and the World Health Organization for sterilizing millions of girls at the beginning of their childbearing age under the guise of the anti-tetanus vaccination program that's sponsored by the Kenyan government itself. Scientific evidence from independent laboratories revealed at least half a dozen samples of the tetanus vaccine tested from various locations around Kenya confirmed their worst fears as they tested positive for the HCV antigen used in anti-fertility vaccines. So they're definitely trying to stop population explosion. And would you think that the same people that are doing this chemtrailing and other stuff, that they would have any other motive, since they're already doing it openly? Here's an example. I'm only going to read this here. Zika virus hoax. You remember that one, right? Spreading of nailed, N-A-L-E-D, actually causes the birth defects, mass media claims, are caused by Zika. So the virus control is the one that's spreading it. Right now, over 10 square mile area of Miami-Dade County, EPA and CDC approved mass chemical warfare on humans is in effect, with the excuse tied to the Zika virus hoax. The highly toxic insecticide NALED, N-A-L-E-D, pun may be intended, contained zebrum, known to cause birth defects in humans, even in low concentrations. So in effect, a weapon of mass destruction is being used in the name of fighting mosquitoes, and the U.S. population is so dumbed down from fluoridated water and pharmaceuticals that they believe the government actually cares about them and is trying to help. Oh my. Let me go on with my article here. And now it appears that we're being primed everywhere that the flu epidemic is going to get a lot worse. Here's one which I'm not going to read to you, but it's very interesting. It's called Scientists Battle to Stop Repeat of the 1918 Super Flu Outbreak that killed 100 million worldwide and left bodies outnumbering coffins. Now, I don't suggest you even read the article. I just think they're trying to prep people. I did read an article about the 1918 super flu, that it was designed by the elite of that day. And it gave proof of that. So they've been in this business a while. So, you know, before they do something, they're out there, you know, prophesying it, in warning about these things that are coming, as though it has nothing to do with them. Now we have been warned that the plague is coming from the skies and in the winter. And God warns of coming pestilence. It's all there. So pray to God, who sent us His immunity. Exodus 15:26. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now this is the reason a lot of people are not going to escape. They're not going to listen to God. They're full of idols. And the word of God means nothing to them. If somebody speaks against it, even in their church or over the pulpit, they just believe them. And wilt do that which is right in his eyes. How do you find out what is right in his eyes? Unless you read the scriptures, which he wrote. And we'll give ear to his commandments. In other words, hearken. That means hear and obey his commandments. These are the ones who love God anyway. He knows that. How many times does he say it? That those that love God will keep his commandments. And keep all his statutes. He's emphasizing this a lot. That holiness is a protection against anything, any curse. I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now God is perfectly righteous when he uses man, or if you say want to rather would say permits man to do something. It is for his purpose. And he is perfectly righteous, because man is wicked, and even Christians are wicked. Psalm 91:5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. Of course, if you have a clear conscience, you cannot be afraid. That's what the Lord said. Nor for the arrow that flieth by day, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Now here's Almighty God saying, you don't have to be afraid. This is coming, but you don't have to be afraid. Isn't it easier for him to just destroy all of this so that it doesn't come? Well, no. There is a judgment in the earth that is written. There are many judgments that are written against sinners in the scriptures, and they have to be fulfilled. Who escapes? those who are not sinners. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. That's a prophecy. But it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Yes, we can abide in Christ. Abiding in Christ is where all of our benefits are. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. You want to be in heavenly places? You have to be in Christ, abiding in Him. And part of abiding in Him is keeping His commandments. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. And that's one of the ways you do it too, because confession. If you believe with the heart and confess with your mouth, you get salvation, right? Now look what he says. They confess. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. So what is the answer? Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. That's right. You confess Him as your Savior, as your Deliverer, as your Provider, as your immunization. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. Well, your tent, of course, is this temporary body that you live in. It's a temporary mobile body. But notice, it can take them out on your right and on your left. For he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. One angel killed 185,000 men in one night to save God's people. Just one angel. So we know how powerful these guardian angels are. Yeah, I'm going to go a little bit further to talk about protection of that comes from the Spirit-filled life, because many of God's people have disobeyed Him and ignored the Scriptures concerning His demand that we be filled with the Holy Spirit. And yet, being filled with the Holy Spirit has vast advantages in power, in faith, in deliverance. It has vast advantages. So we're going to talk about protection of the Spirit-filled life. You know, Matthew Stewart received this on the 14th of this January of 2018. He said, "In this dream, I was either watching from above the person or in the person feeling everything that he was feeling." This happened in two different... Both of these things happened in this dream. He was at one point watching from above. At another point, he was inside the person feeling and thinking what they were thinking. He said, "The dream started like this. Where I was watching this man as he was walking up to his SUV. His wife and children were in the SUV. And as he came to the vehicle, I was in him." In other words, at this point, he was in the person, seeing things through his eyes. "There was a man leaning against the SUV. The man pulled out a gun and demanded that the man drive him places. And the man felt afraid and did as the man with the gun told him." Well, now, you know, this is, in effect, what the elite are doing. They want to control you. They want you to serve them. They will use weapons of mass destruction to control a weakened population, or they will, and by the way, charge them for all the multiple, you know, ways that they have to supposedly heal people, or they will take them out because they cannot be controlled. America is seen to be uncontrollable by the elite. That's why they have done so much through the latest presidents up until Trump to destroy America in every way possible. So when we're fearful or ignorant of the physical and spiritual adversaries, like this part of the dream is speaking about, right? We submit to them, and our families are taken captive. Notice. Because they were in the car. Because the leader, you know, was in this state of fear from the enemy. His family was taken captive. So, anyway, demons, or demons in people, or passed down to us through the bloodline, take all men captive. I mean, all men are taken captive until they know, that is, really know, the Lord. Some don't get enough of the Word and of the Spirit to escape. And that's simply because they don't read their Bible and they don't believe it. If everybody else in their church doesn't do it, they won't go there. If everybody else in their church has the opinion that this scripture's wrong or that it passed away, they won't go there. It's total idolatry. So they're missing out on the very things that would save them. Eventually, the man driving got tired of doing what the man with the gun told him to do. Which, of course, some people are doing right now. The only thing is, they don't understand. These people are in control. Unless you're under the Lord. You see, there's only one way to escape, just as he told us earlier in these warnings. He has the only remedy. So, let me go back. Eventually, the man driving got tired of doing what the man with the gun told him to do. And the man with the gun grabbed the other man and started beating him until he was bloody. Then the man with the gun got scared and jumped into the vehicle with the family still inside and drove off. So the adversaries are able to destroy those who are not born from above and filled with the Spirit of God. You'll understand why I'm making this statement later, okay? And they're able to take captive their families. But let me say that this situation often drives people to God. You yourselves know how many people have come to God because they were in this situation. Totally under the curse, totally controlled by others, dying because mankind couldn't save them. Had no intent in saving them. They're just expendable. Then the man noticed that he was next to a church. So here he is left by himself. The family's taken captive. And he noticed that he was next to a church. And he went inside to get help. And he came in and went to the front of the church where some of the people tried to help him. And the pastor ran off to get help for him. Okay. Most pastors don't know about the help that comes from above through faith and prayer. They don't know about that. So he ran off to get some physical help here, you know. There was, next to the beaten man, a three-tiered holder. And on the top tier was a bowl full of blood. Now, I take this to mean that the most important thing is to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Because then you have all the benefits of the kingdom. Then the man asked the lady there to pour the blood over him. While he was saying this, I was in him, and he felt a very strong desire to have the blood poured over him. Kind of like a baptism for him. So let's just think about this. He was washed in the blood. saved, and we can see in fellowship with Christians, if continued, of course, this will do away with our captivity to sin and demons and lost people. 1 John 1 and 7 says, "But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light," again, we're talking about people who are reading the Bible, which is the light of God, not being distracted by religion, which, you know, has been destructive to so much of the scriptures. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." So here's something that you do if you walk in the light. There are people who don't do this because they don't walk in the light. Notice what it says. "If we walk in the light, he is as he is in the light. We have fellowship one with another." Okay. Satan does what he can do to separate us from fellowship with true disciples, including religion. You know, religion, you come, you sit down next to somebody, you probably might see them there next Sunday, but you don't get much fellowship around the Word and around the light, because in some cases it's not necessary. You say, what? Well, it's not necessary. If you believe once saved, always saved, do you know it's just not necessary to take any of those warnings in that book? In fact, they just confuse you. Since you believe the pastor and you believe their religion and you believe that once saved, always saved, why take any warnings? There's nothing that can harm you. And you really don't have to be holy because you're a sinner saved by grace. So why read the book? No, people are not motivated to walk in the light because of these evil demons in the pulpit. They're not motivated. I had a Baptist preacher ask me one time. He said, "I just don't understand. Our people just aren't motivated." My mouth fell open. I said, and I knew the guy. I talked to him before about these things. I said, "Why would they be motivated? They don't have to do anything. Remember, that's all works." They don't have to do anything. They don't even have to be holy. They don't have to be helpful in the kingdom. Why would they be motivated? He just kind of looked at me and walked away. But God calls this willful disobedience, and he judges it in Hebrews 10:25-27. I'm talking about forsaking fellowship. Now, fellowship in most cases is just a little leaven leavening the whole lump, because you're hanging out with people who are not Christian. Now, some people argue with me when I tell them that this religion and that religion and the other Christian religion are not Christian. But what does Christian mean? It means Christ-like. Who were those disciples? They were called Christians because they did everything Jesus said. They spoke the same word, the same teachings, did the same signs and wonders and miracles, and they were called Christian. Okay, so what we got today is a lot of churches that are not Christian. And a lot of Christians that are not Christian. Okay. And so, fellowship with these people does you absolutely no good. Fellowshipping disciples is what he's talking about here. So, let me read that again. "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Now, there's a condition there. And in most cases, it's not being observed. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves." Well, first of all, if you say every sin that you do is under the blood, and God only sees you through the blood of Jesus, false doctrine. Okay. Then you done sin. You know, that's not sin. Okay? Hebrews 10:26, if we sin willfully, after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment. then they wonder why they're being judged, or they think it's just the normal life, you know, of being judged. People like are like that. They just think, oh, this is normal. This everybody else is going through this too. But you're a Christian. You're not supposed to be going through this, you know. So if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, which is the thing that causes sin in the first place, right? So this is a good deal. You actually get more and more holy by obeying this, right? Because you're getting cleansed of unrighteousness. This is not a one-time thing. So this needs to continue. Whenever you read the word, you repent, right? Which means change your mind. And you confess your sin to the Lord. Say, I'm sorry, Lord. I've not paid attention to what this says. Please forgive me. And He will. Satan hates confession of sin, because he knows he'll lose his house when people do it. He tries, fear of rejection and pride, to stop us from confessing our sins, because he knows you're going to become more righteous, more wise by walking in the light. You'll be able to be an actual threat to him. Psalm 32 and 3 says, when I kept silence, and in the text he's talking about, not confessing his sins. When I kept silence, my bones wasted away through my groaning all the day long. See, a lot of people are sickly. A lot of people are weak. A lot of people have to put up with the curse that comes through the bloodline because they won't confess their sins. When I kept silence, my bones wasted away through my groaning all the day. And we know that our bones are where our life comes from, because that's where our blood is created, right? So without confession of sins, our life is corrupted. This deterioration is normal among most Christians. It's normal for your body and your life to deteriorate. But it's not for us. I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. I can imagine. Kept silence, didn't confess his sins. So God's hand was against this person. My moisture was changed as with the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity did I not hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. So, you know, people need to think about this. You need to get into the habit of doing this. You need to have somebody, a good faithful prayer partner, to confess your sins to, or some sins need to be confessed only to the Lord, because they are sins against the Lord. Other sins are against people, in which to deliver them from the curse that's upon them, and maybe the unforgiveness is upon them, you need to go and confess your sin against them. Okay, so there's reasons for that. Sometimes you don't want to confess a sin against somebody because they don't know you did it. And if they did, they'd be in the stumbling, you know. There may be a situation like that. Okay. As I've pointed out before, you don't go and tell some guy, I'm sorry, I lusted against your wife, you know. Because you put him in a whole different situation, you know. It's better for you to go and tell the Lord, please forgive me, Father, and deliver me, you know. Without forgiveness to others, we cannot be forgiven, as Jesus said. Verse 6. For this let everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Because there could come a time you've waited too long, is what he's saying. Surely when the great waters overflow, they shall not reach unto him. In other words, if you got in this habit of confessing your sins, the great waters won't overflow you. Talking about the curse. Confession will save your life from destruction. Unforgiveness, in its many forms, will bring destruction. And we received this the very morning that he first had this dream. Ephesians 4 and 29. Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying, as the need may be. Edifying means building up, right? As the need may be. That it may give grace to them that hear. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and notice this whole long list here. It's all rooted in unforgiveness. If you don't have unforgiveness, you can't do any of these. You will not do any of these if you don't have unforgiveness. So let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing be put away from you with all malice. And these are all rooted in unforgiveness. Along with things like criticism, slander, faction, gossip, hatred, on and on and on. Many sins are rooted in unforgiveness. If you don't have unforgiveness, this is why the Lord said, if you have unforgiveness, you are not forgiven. Now, think about that. You cannot go to heaven unforgiven. You have to be forgiven. It's the basis even of the Old Testament. Unforgiveness. You had to have forgiveness in the Old Testament. Oh, we now have the power to forgive because of the Holy Spirit, because of the born-again Spirit. And verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you. And Matthew 18 is all about that. The master forgiving his servant, but the servant going out and not forgiving his fellow servant. And Jesus said that his Father will turn you over to the tormentors until you pay what's due, right? So anyway, he asked for this blood to be poured over him, kind of like a baptism. And then the lady thought it was weird. Now, this is a church person here. It's weird. Speaking of the blood or confession of sin is weird to much of the church. And, of course, because of this, they don't grow up and or abide in Christ. They think it's weird talk, you know. Confession of sins? I've even heard them say, well, this is not Catholicism. I'm not confessing my sins to any man. Well, that's going a little too far, isn't it? I agree, you don't need to confess your sins to a priest or somebody that probably doesn't know the Lord in the first place. But confessing it to one another, confessing it to God, confessing sin is commanded. So she thought it was weird, but she did it anyways. And when she was done pouring every drop of the blood onto him, suddenly he fell to his knees and hands, and I felt everything that he was feeling at this moment. He felt great pain and suffering, kind of like what our Lord went through. Yeah. When we're washed in the blood of the Lamb, there's conviction of sin, a grief for sin. which of course the Lord bore away. He bore that curse. He was the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. And also along with the washing of the blood comes this repentance, right? Some people don't get a very much of a dose of repentance when all they got to do and all they hear is just accept the Lord. But if you don't repent, the Lord doesn't accept you. So that's a dumb replacement for what's written in the Scriptures, which is repent and believe. Repent and believe the book, not your religion. Repent and believe. Washed in the blood will bring you to repentance and belief. Because he said, if we walk in the light is not what the religion says. The light is what the Word of God says. And this cleansing is continual for the Christian who repents and confesses their sins. This is the way to purity, and it's the way to maturity. So you can see why the devil fights these things. He got up completely healed and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Well, Acts 1 and 8 says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, he was already talking to his disciples. So this is saying that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon them. Well, the apostate church is, you know, since their leaders don't receive the Holy Spirit with the evidences of the power and the gifts, and they don't believe in them, they have to preach something different. But the Lord said, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. Now, there's those churches that I'm speaking about, there are powerless churches. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And the Lord said, from such turn away. You know why? Because this is not a church. They have not come out from among them. They are not coming into the light of the Word. This is not a church. Church means called out ones, and they refused to come out. Just like the Pharisees, they refused to come out. The disciples were called the church because they came out from among them. They came out of the denominations. And so it is today. Come out from among them. Believe what the Bible says, or you will not have its benefits when these disasters come. And they're going to come one right after another. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. Which literally means that you are a witness of Christ. They see Christ in you. When you go out there and call yourself a Christian, and you're powerless, and you haven't repented, and you don't believe the Word, how can you be a witness? It says, be a witness. It didn't say witness, it said, be my witness. You're a witness of him, right? Both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So the Holy Spirit empowers us to resist Satan, the flesh, circumstances. As when Jesus was filled with the Spirit and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And yes, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we can overcome Satan. We have power to overcome Satan. Just as Jesus did, who was our example. Then it's like the dream started all over. The man was different this time. Oh, so you're getting ready to go through the same scene, except now the man is different. He's baptized in the Holy Spirit. He's saved. He's washed in the blood. He was walking to his SUV again, and there was the man leaning against the vehicle, and the man pulled out the gun and told the man to do whatever he said, but the man did not obey him. nor was he afraid of him. Love casts out fear. What you going to do, send me to heaven? You know. So, the man with the gun started shooting, but the bullets went through him without hurting him. And that was the end of the dream. He wasn't afraid. Well, you know, enemies, especially spiritual enemies, they make all kinds of threats. If you don't do this, this will what happen. This, you know, but their bullets are hollow, you know. They try to cause you to fear something, whatever they threaten you with, and you obey because you're afraid. But you know, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're much more unlikely to be afraid. Most of the things we fear never come to pass. So why waste time with something that doesn't do anything but destroy your faith and makes you a victim? Because if you fear, it's like a dog senses fear. The devil senses fear. Fear is faith in the curse. It's faith in the devil. It's faith in circumstances. It's faith in reverse. But it's still faith. And when you have faith in the devil, you release him to do whatever he's going to do. You know, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. We loose Satan by fear. We loose Satan by not being filled with the Spirit of God so that we do fear. We bind the angels of God when we fear instead of have faith. Angels are there to protect you. But the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Think not that that man shall receive anything of the Lord. Right? So, the angels are bound from helping you and protecting you. Some people wonder, why didn't the angels help me? Well, it's probably your fault, not theirs. When sin is washed away, and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we're bold. And we do not submit to the adversaries. So, get this. Our family isn't taken captive. Because when you fear and you run from the enemy, they will too. They won't know any difference. You're their fearless leader, right? The adversaries are under our authority. Luke chapter 9 and verse 1 says, "And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases." And what does the devil tell you? If you don't go to the doctor, you're going to die. But if you believe God, you're not. If you repent and believe God, you're not. And Luke 10 and 19 says, "Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you." You know, there's promises in here people have never had any experience in believing to escape things. And the reason we need to walk in the light is the light constantly brings us out from under the curse through faith in God. Constantly. And you can't just read the Bible one time and have this. You've got to put enough of the Word in there to overcome what's already in there. You got to be washed with the Word, the water of the Word. You have to be washed with it. You need to be on a constant diet of the Word. Not be distracted by the world and the things of the world. A lot of people are like that now. Christians are very distracted. They want to please their flesh. They want to feed their flesh. They want to constantly be distracted by things. We need the Word. We need a love for the Word. The Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit will do that. Now let me say that there are people who've never been baptized in the Spirit. And then there are people who have been baptized in the Spirit, but this power has been being released from them as they do the work of God. So they need a refilling. Kind of like they got filled in the book of Acts chapter 2 and they got refilled in the book of Acts chapter 4. I remember for years after I was baptized in the Spirit, I would constantly ask the Lord to refill me. And I would feel electricity just flowing through my body when I did that. I knew the Lord was doing it. Now I don't necessarily need a sign that the Lord is doing that because I just know He is. You should be constantly asking the Lord to refill you with the Holy Spirit. Everybody needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." This spake He of the Spirit. So it's flowing out of you. So a river is something that resupplies. We're not talking about a mud hole here. It's a river. After the dream ended, Matt said, I was in this state where I was not dreaming but awake. And I said to the Lord, "Fill me up with your Holy Spirit and don't stop till I tell you to." So, I mean, what is this? It seems like he learned this lesson here of what it is to be filled with the Spirit, how it saves, it delivers, all these things, power. But now, he wasn't thinking about this. The Lord is doing this as a demonstration. You know, he wasn't thinking about this in his dream. But now, suddenly, with this revelation, that this man and his family wasn't victim to this enemy, like many people out there are being victimized by their enemy government, by the enemy elite, by the enemy shadow government, by demonic forces that they were born with in the bloodline, and on and on and on. So suddenly we get a revelation that being washed in the blood and baptized in the Spirit is powerful. And if you have been baptized in the Spirit, but you don't feel it anymore, you need to ask again. Don't stop till I tell you to. And right then, the Lord poured His Spirit into me, and there was this bright white light around me. So, let me say, this is at the end of the dream, when he was in this semi-state here, but he was not dreaming, but awake. Okay? So this bright white light surrounded him, and I could see it even through my eyes, even though my eyes were closed, I could see it. So now, Matt is filled with the Holy Spirit too and is not submitted to the adversary, and his family is safe. Okay? The light kept getting brighter and whiter, and there appeared a man's head with me in the center of the bright white light. Wonder who that was. Kind of reminds you of the three Hebrews walking in the midst of the fire with someone else. I couldn't distinguish the head's features, but the Spirit kept coming, and it got to the point where it was too much. And I said, "Please, stop, Lord." And it stopped immediately. And then I woke up. So, what is God saying here? I mean, God gives dreams, as He says, to give us an education and to give us courage and faith and all these things and discernment of things to come, you know. What's He saying here? That the Holy Spirit needs to be invited And you can have as much as you want. You can keep it coming, as a matter of fact. Like I was talking about, keep it coming, keep it coming, keep it coming. Lord, fill me today with your Holy Spirit. And that those who do not yet have the Holy Spirit should ask for it. Contrary to their religion. If you'll just read the New Testament one time, you'll find out that people got saved and then they got filled with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes they got saved and didn't find out about the Holy Spirit being given. And when they found out about it, they received it then. So they lie to you when they tell you you got the Holy Spirit, you got everything you're going to get when you got saved. That's the devil. Those who do not yet have the Holy Spirit should ask him for it. Be diligent about it. In our last meeting, people were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then, of course, you have power over the enemy. And also, what is God saying here? That we who have the Holy Spirit need to pray for a greater anointing of the Holy Spirit. Obviously, this is given in our day, that he will give us to overflowing his Spirit. So we should believe him for it. We're seeing this extra promise here, besides what's in the Scripture. I would pray that the Lord fill you to overflowing with his Holy Spirit. He giveth not the Spirit by measure, John said, right? The Holy Spirit brings the most important fruit, for which there is no curse. Listen carefully to this verse. Romans 5:5. And hope putteth not to shame, because the love of God hath been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit which was given unto us. When the Holy Spirit comes, he's able to put fruit in us. The Lord said that the Holy Spirit takes of his and reveals it unto us, right? So the Holy Spirit's job is to recreate Christ in us. The love of God hath been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit which was given unto us. Now all you got to do is read the book of Acts and you see how the Holy Spirit was given, and that when it was given, people spoke in tongues, they prophesied, they did supernatural things just like the disciples did, just like Jesus did. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. By the way, Jesus didn't do any miracles until he was filled with the Holy Spirit, because he was an example to us. And he didn't go and preach until he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's an example to us. Did you notice this? So if you're preaching and you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, stop it. Get out of it. You weren't sent. You just went. And that's what these dead religions teach. Since they don't have it, they don't expect you to have it. And if you get it, they'll get mad at you. As I've often said, if you do what they did, you'll get what they got. And if you get what they got, you'll do what they did. Oh, thank you, Lord. And then Matt said, you know, when you look at a bright light here on earth, it'll leave a spot there on your eye for a little bit. Well, after the bright white light experience, I had spots on my eyes for a little bit, even after I awoke, even though my eyes were closed. So when filled with the light, and it stays with you, even in the darkness, notice that, you know, even with his eyes closed in the darkness, the light's still there. You know, supernatural light of God, the light of His Word. And Jesus said in Matthew 6 and 22, the lamp of the body is the eye. In other words, that's where light comes in, right? If therefore thine eye be single, meaning on the things of the Lord, right? Single. Thy whole body shall be full of light. So you know, if your eye is on the things of the Lord, you'll have light in your body. And if not, you'll be distracted. And again, John 7:37 says, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said. Here. Now, pay attention. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said. Go read the Scriptures, you who haven't been filled with the Spirit, and find out what it says about being filled with the Spirit. How that you had to first be a Christian before you could be filled with the Spirit. When they made the temple, they sanctified the temple, and then the Shekinah glory of the Spirit of God came to dwell in the temple. First it was the temple, and then the Holy Spirit came. So, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. So, it's got to come from somewhere. You have to be resupplied because it's flowing out. You know, Jesus realized somebody touched him one time and power went forth out of him. Even Jesus got alone with God. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him were to receive. Oh, let's see now. Think about this. The people who truly believe on him receive the Spirit. He also said, he that believeth on me, he'll speak with other tongues, which is the most common manifestation when people get filled with the Spirit. People that believe on him. Now, he's the one that says who a believer is. We can't do it. We can't say anything different. Jesus said, this is what believers do. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So that's why he said, which they that believed on him were to receive. Now we know that Jesus was glorified, so therefore the Spirit's given. So what's your excuse? It's already been given. You just receive the Holy Spirit. That's all you do. Now, since he was glorified, you just receive the Holy Spirit. The most common method, of course, is to have other Spirit-filled Christians lay hands on you. And sometimes you can even feel the Holy Spirit going into a person. And they can feel it too sometimes. It's not necessary, but can happen. Listen at Mark 16 and 15. And he said unto them, go ye in all the world, into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Notice that. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Do you need to be baptized? Well, yeah. But David, I don't know. Well, you go ahead and take a chance then if you want to take a chance. But I just, when you see a word like this, you just need to obey it. If you haven't been baptized, get baptized. He that believeth and is baptized, Jesus said this, shall be saved. But he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. So this is what Jesus calls a believer. In my name, they shall cast out demons. These particular signs that he's fixing to tell you, every believer can do. This is not as though the gifts are given some to some and some to another. These common signs are given to every believer. Listen to what he said. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. I know some of them teach that they're just figments of our imagination, you know. But no, we will cast them out. They shall speak with new tongues. There you go. You didn't want to do that, did you? They've been taught so much bad stuff about tongues, but the Bible doesn't say anything bad about tongues. It says it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. I thank my God, he said. I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with my understanding, and I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with my understanding. What is it when you do it without your understanding? It's tongues, because you don't know what you're saying. That's the excuse some people have for not receiving tongues. I don't even know what I'm saying. That's why it's tongues. You don't know what you're saying. You're not going to change what the Holy Spirit says because you don't know what he's saying. As long as he's praying to God by faith, that's the only thing you need. As long as he's praying according to the will of God and for your good, that's all you need. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. Now, we know that the Scripture speaks of serpents as demons. Paul took up a serpent one time. He didn't do it on purpose. It was latched onto him, right? And he didn't receive any harm from it. It says, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. So, there's two things there that shall in no wise hurt you. Does this mean you need to go out there and be a snake handler? No, actually, some of those guys die. Which kind of proves they missed God, right? They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. There it is. They shall, if you're a believer, you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So, you say, I don't want to speak in tongues. Well, then it's your problem. You have the problem because God said to. If you're a believer, you're going to do it. Listen, Isaiah 28:11. Nay, but by men of strange lips and with another tongue, there it is again, will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest. Give you rest to him that is weary. Why, so the gift of tongues is the rest? No, the Holy Spirit is the rest, because when you have the Holy Spirit, you speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit speaks to you in utterings that can't be mentioned. So, to whom he said, this is the rest. This is the, give ye rest to him that is weary. In other words, give them the Holy Spirit. Pray for people to receive the Holy Spirit. Because this is the rest. You know, in the Old Testament, the rest was the Sabbath. But in the New Testament, it's called the Sabbatismos. In Hebrews, there remaineth therefore a Sabbatismos, which means a continual rest. That's not a day of rest. We're not commanded a day of rest in the New Testament. We're commanded the Sabbatismos. Read the whole story, Hebrews 3, Hebrews 4. Read it. Give you rest to him that is weary. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Now what did you just got through saying? You don't want to speak in tongues? By strange lips and with another tongue will they speak to this people, yet they would not hear. Therefore shall the word of the Lord be unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. They'll get, this is the way the word of the Lord comes, right? That they may go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Uh-oh. Here's the people who have rejected tongues. He just got through saying it. I'll speak to this people in tongues, but they will not hear. That they may go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Now I learned something from this, and that is that if you're not led by the Holy Spirit, you're not a son of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And when you don't have the Holy Spirit, guess what you're led by? Your mind. That's why the people who have, well, let me say this. In a church where they believe in speaking in tongues, the rest of the gifts can flow. And the power can flow, the healing can flow, and all that. When they don't believe in speaking in tongues, guess what's there? Nothing. Nothing supernatural. They don't flow in any of the gifts. They don't believe in the power of God. You see, it's the tongues thing. God put that there so that the wisdom of the wise would be their own stumbling. So when they reject that, they're going to be led by their mind, and they're going to fail. They'll fall backward, be broken, snared, and taken. They're going to fail. The Holy Spirit doesn't come to make you a failure. It comes to empower you. So God gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey Him. Acts 5 and 32. And we are witnesses of these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. Did you see that? Now, if you're a rebel against the Spirit of God, it's very likely you won't receive Him. You can't just do what you want to do. You were bought with a price. You are owned by the Lord. You are His servant. Repent and obey. Acts 2 and 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Notice that the Spirit gives the utterance. You might do the speaking, but the Spirit gives the utterance. It will be in a language that you don't know. Sometimes there is a gift called tongues and interpretation, and the interpretation is an interpretation of the tongue. Everybody doesn't have that. That's a different gift than your personal prayer language of speaking in tongues. Now, the gift of tongues is not recommended to give the tongue without the interpretation. There's no resistance to your personal prayer language being prayed among Christians that believe, you know. So, they spake with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit is praying through the person who speaks in tongues. And he doesn't know how to pray in unbelief. And he doesn't know how to pray against the will of God. And he knows everything about you, and he knows every need that you have. That's why it is the most important gift. Now, the liars have said it's the least important gift, but there's no verse that says that. It's obviously wrong, because God gives this gift more than any other gift, because every Christian needs the Holy Spirit to pray through them. And down in verse 33, it says, being therefore by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, Jesus needed it, and you need it. If Jesus needed it, you definitely need it. You know, be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And it is the Holy Spirit of God, you know. He hath poured forth this which you see and hear. Well, that's interesting. They saw and heard the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. How did they hear the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Well, go back to what he just said. They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they began to see the Holy Spirit come on people. Amazing. See and hear. And verse 38. And Peter said unto them, Repent ye, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ unto the remission of your sins. And you shall, so when you repent and get baptized, you're saved, right? Okay, so now you can have this other gift, contrary to popular opinion. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him. So, are we far off from them? Well, of course. Anybody that's called unto him is supposed to receive this promise, just as he says here. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him. Everybody's supposed to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. How many people in Christianity have? It's a very small number. A very low percentage. But this gift is for you and is for your children. And as many and as far off. And that's us, obviously. And Acts 8 and 17. Then laid they their hands on them, which is one of the most common ways for people to receive the Holy Spirit. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now, you were told you got the Holy Spirit automatically when you got saved. How does that fit with this verse, Acts 19 and 2? And he said unto them, Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they can believe without receiving the Holy Spirit. So, contrary to popular opinion, you get the Holy Spirit after you believe. It can be almost simultaneous, but it still comes after you believe. And they said unto him, Nay, we did not so much as hear whether the Holy Spirit was given. Well, wait a minute. They were believers. Did it matter if they didn't know the Holy Spirit was given? They were believers. They would have already had the Holy Spirit. But no, he's saying, no, now you need the Holy Spirit. And when Paul laid his hands, verse 6, and then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. See, laying on of hands is the common way to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If it wasn't important, God wouldn't be making it important. Am I right? And then Matt said, I asked the Lord for a word for the dream and got John 3 and 13. And no one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven, even the Son of Man, who is in heaven, by the way, was added in. There's no numeric pattern in it. But think about it. No one hath ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven. It's Jesus. Is Jesus baptized in the Holy Spirit? Yes. And you can't call him, you can't say he's not a Christian. So, it's Jesus that's going to heaven. Don't you want to be like Jesus? You have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit if you want to be like Jesus. If you want to be Christian, you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry. Let's face it, those people that they called Christians were baptized in the Holy Spirit. And they had power, and they did signs and wonders, and they did everything Jesus did. And when you're filled with the one from heaven, we can go there with him. That's what this verse is saying. Brethren, so many of God's children will not avail themselves of the scriptures that are our very food of life to deliver us from the curse on this world. Jesus warned that those who are distracted from this diet because of the love of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and on will not partake of his benefits. See, the world is way too important to Christians, but when these disasters begin to fall, you're going to realize you made a mistake. Luke 14 and 15. I'm going to read on down. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Now we know what the bread is. It's the word of God, right? Blessed are those that eat the word of God in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is where he rules. And he rules through his word, by the way. How can two walk together except they be agreed? You're coming into agreement with God so you can hear his voice, so you can follow him. And as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And verse 16, But he said unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and he bade many. And he sent forth his servants at supper time to say to them that were bidden, that's the same word for called, kaleo, means invited, right? Come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. Now, Jesus had a couple of parables like this. The people were full of excuses. They're not going to eat their Wheaties. They are too busy, too busy. The first said unto him, I have bought a field, and I must needs go out and see it. Oh yes, that's very important. But the only thing that was important was the physical things, not the eternal life. Right? I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. Just like this supper was not very important, although this supper represents eternal life. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. Got to go prove the wife, right? And the servant came and told his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said unto his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the blind, and the lame. Now certainly these people would appreciate this meal, right? These people that were fat and full, they weren't appreciating this gift. Right? And the servant said, Lord, what thou didst command is done, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and constrain them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men that were bidden shall taste of my supper. In one place it was a marriage feast, you know. And you know, the marriage feast is a 7-day occurrence. It's the 7 years of the tribulation when they partake of the blood and the bread and the wine, the body and blood of Christ. We are partaking of that. It is our feast. It's utterly important to prepare us for the kingdom of God and to prepare us to escape this world. Let me share another one with you. Matthew 13 and 14. And unto them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall in no wise understand. And seeing you shall see, and shall in no wise perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross. Now, of course, he was talking about their covenant people. And let me say that we are in a similar time now as they were then. The coming of the Lord then, the coming of the Lord and his man-child now. The covenant people are the ones that are not listening, not seeing, and not perceiving now. This parable was for them then. It's for us now. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. You can't talk scripture with most of God's people. You just can't do it. They are so anti-scripture, which means anti-Christ, that you can't talk to them. And they've got no eyes to see. Lest happily they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should turn again and I should heal them. In other words, the Lord didn't give them the gift. He spoke to them in parables. So they wouldn't understand because they had already rejected him. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men desired to see the things which you see. We are so privileged, folks. So privileged to receive God's word and to study it and to make it our life, you know. And they saw them not. And to hear the things which you hear, and heard them not. Hear then ye the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, who was not understanding it? God's people. Then cometh the evil one, and snatcheth away that which has been sown in his heart. See, if you don't put the word of God to use quickly, you get forgetful, and the devil just takes it right on out of your heart. Put it into action. Obey what you hear. Don't trust in men. This is he that was sown by the wayside. And he that was sown upon the rocky places, sounds like a hard heart, right? This is he that heareth the word and straightway with joy receiveth it. There are a lot of people like this. They received it quickly. And they were happy about it. I've seen them. In verse 21, yet hath he not root in himself. He did not give root in his heart to the word of God. But endureth for a while. This is many, many. They endure for a while. And when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, and it will, because it has to be tested. A person has to be tested. Even Jesus went 40 days into the wilderness and was tested of the devil before he overcame and began to preach the gospel. Straightway he stumbleth. So when tribulation or trial comes because of the word, they stumble. We have seen them stumble. And he that was sown among the thorns, this is he that heareth the word, and the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word, and he becomes unfruitful. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and he becomes unfruitful. We have to bear the fruit of the word. If our love is on the world and not on the Lord, we're going to stumble. And he that was sown upon the good ground, this is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, who verily beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So, if you're distracted by the world, if you're distracted by your business, if these things overcome you, if you're working many hours during the day and you don't have time for the word, or all of your business is away from the people of God and you don't have fellowship, what is important to you? What is important to you? Is it the life eternal or this life that's perishing? What is most important to you? I know many people who have changed a job because it distracted them from the word, and they liked the job, but the word was most important. And being around the people of God at the hours that the people of God gathered together was important to them. So they changed their job. They gave up what they wanted. I gave up everything in order to follow the Lord. I made a good living. I had lots of hobbies that I loved, and I used to, you know, build all kinds of things and just enjoyed doing all that kind of stuff. Of course, I enjoyed getting drunk and doing pot and different drugs and things like that too, and I gave all that up too. And things that my flesh enjoyed, I gave up because I loved God and I wanted to find out more about Him. I wanted to be around the people of God, and if anything distracted me from being around the people of God and having time for God, I got rid of it. I got it out of my life. I didn't have time for it. I had people, when I used to work at Exxon, I had people tell me, "You just ruined yourself." They were talking about when I became a Christian, I didn't care about climbing the ladder anymore. I was in supervision, but I didn't care. It was they were demanding more of me than I wanted to give. So I got out of it. I didn't care. There wasn't anything they could do to make anything they had more important than God and chasing after God and doing His will. And the Lord really honored it, because we had a couple of churches out there, and it brought forth a lot of fruit. A lot of different religious people came together into one accord, and it was wonderful. So the Lord always rewards you if you make steps to deny yourself, to take up your cross and follow Him. He will reward you. There are wonderful rewards. And all you got to do is go to God and ask Him to put it in your heart if you don't have it. Ask Him to fill your heart with faith. Ask Him to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Ask Him for everything, everything. As I've said before, some people have unemployed angels. They just stand around there waiting for you to believe the Word of God so they can give you something or can go out and do something for you. And basically, you're so distracted by the world, you don't even think about it. Unemployed angels. Ask God for everything. If you see it's good for you, ask Him for it. Like the Holy Spirit. This is after being cleansed in the blood, this is the most important thing in all of the world, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because He will lead you and guide you into all truth. He will open up the Scriptures unto you. He will bring all things to your remembrance that He has said to you. Just ask. Ask, seek, knock, right? The door shall be opened. All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you receive to them, and you shall have them. What a powerful promise. That promise right there will give you a miraculous life all by itself. Believe you have received, and you shall have it. Well, Father, we ask that everyone listening will seek and desire to be filled with your Holy Spirit, that they will take time to know you so that they're not taken advantage of by the adversaries in this world, be they demons or demons in people, or the demons that were passed on down through the bloodline, or the corruption and sin that was passed on down, Lord, so that they may have power over all the power of the enemy. Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that you fill us mightily with your Holy Spirit right now. Fill us mightily with the power of your Spirit right now, Lord. Fill us up that we might have power with you. And Lord, everyone out there that is filled with the Spirit, Lord, I ask you to give them the gift of tongues, Lord, so that the Holy Spirit can pray through them according to your will. The Holy Spirit who sees everything, past, present, future, things hidden, will pray through them for what they need. We only pray for what our mind shows us that we need, but the Holy Spirit knows everything. Lord, Fill them with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Let the Holy Spirit pray through them in a mighty way and defend them from the adversaries. They'll be fearless before the adversaries. Fear invites the enemy to take advantage of us. Fear is faith in the enemy and faith in the curse. But they will be fearless with the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. Let it be, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Have mercy upon your servants, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we love you. Help us to keep your commandments, Lord. Let it be important to us to be obedient, to keep your commandments. For then you said, you will put none of the diseases upon us that you have put upon the Egyptians, like at the Passover. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. And divine health is better than divine healing. I will put none of the diseases upon thee, which I have put upon the Egyptians. Thank you, Lord, for divine health. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And Lord, thank you for your people being bold in the days to come when these plagues are upon everybody, that they cast down vain imaginations and every thought that's exalted against the knowledge of God. We thank you for doing it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, all right, saints, thank you for joining us today, and I pray you'll pray for us, and we will pray for you. God be with you in the days to come. Amen and good night.